Welcome to Centered, the podcast that celebrates the journey of faith-filled parents. I'm Andrea Camacho, a homeschool mom, widow, and the owner of the Center School of Dance right here in Cookeville, Tennessee. In this podcast, we explore the beautiful journey of intentional parenting where faith, love, and dedication intersect. Whether you're seeking to support your child in their passions and activities, help them foster friendships, or instill godly values within your home, you're in the right place. Together, let's navigate the beautiful chaos of parenthood and cultivate a home centered on faith, love, and purpose. Awesome. Well, here we are with our very first episode, and today we have Miss Ashley Michael, who has just been a longtime friend. We were like pregnant together at one point with our 10-year-olds. So they've been a longtime family at the studio. They have three dancers that dance with us right now. And so just a dear friend, and I'm so thankful to have you here on our first episode.
I'm excited. I feel really honored. This is so exciting.
Yes. And she's also one of the co-founders of Plenty Bookshop, which I know is a favorite of a lot of families in the community. So if you haven't been over there, check that out for sure. And today's episode, she's actually going to be interviewing me.
Yes.
So I'm going to let you just take it away.
Yeah, we get to hear all about you. This is so fun. So first, I am just curious to know what inspired you to do this podcast.
Yes, I have been wanting to do a podcast for a while. And just kind of started thinking about it and decided if I'm going to do it, it's now or never. Something about my son turning 10, double digits, and me staring down 40 was like, if I have these things I want to do, I just better do them.
Yeah.
And so, one of my real inspirations has been the community of parents. And in the last 2 years, you guys have all come around and supported me so much that what I'm most excited about is connecting with all of these amazing people in our dance community and in just our community in Cookeville at a deeper level. That's so I'm really someone cool. who loves that deep connection. And one of our goals with our centered outreach groups is to take what we do outside of the studio walls. So with the podcast, I'm just really excited about like diving deep into conversations you can't have in the hallways at the studio and allowing our community to connect on a deeper level.
I think I was talking earlier about you with this, and I'm really excited because I feel like you're always so genuine and looking for that, you know, connection with people. And I just think doing a podcast is perfect. It's going to be such a good thing for our community. So I'm excited. Okay. So tell us a little bit. I know a little bit about your background and everything, but it'd be fun to just hear how the Center School of Dance came to be.
Yes. Yeah, so I am actually one of the few schools in the area that is leading the school I grew up dancing in. So this was not my baby, didn't start it, didn't have a dream of starting a business. I fell in love with dancing, started dancing with the school when I was in fifth grade, 10 years old.
Cool. And it was called something with Oaks.
It was Cathedral Oaks Dance Arts, but it actually was originally founded even before that.
Really?
It's Dana Bailey and Shoni Smith with what is now Peachtree Learning Center. So Tabitha Merritt directs Peachtree Learning Center, but way back in the day when I was in fifth grade, it was all one big arts program. So we would take all of our arts classes. We would take dance class like on carpet with these metal bars that we pulled in outside at the building that is still Peachtree. So, of course, it's evolved over the years, but I fell in love with dance and fell in love with teaching. And really, they saw something in me I didn't see in myself. And so, long story short, that's where I met my husband, Caleb. He was there just teaching. So I wasn't an owner at the time. We were both just teachers.
That's so cute.
So when I graduated, that whole nonprofit dissolved and I was in love with these kids and I was in love with teaching and I hadn't planned to start a studio. I was only 24 years old. I really had thought I would like have all my babies and then start a studio. Here I was at 24 years old and made the decision to take it on. And then Caleb and I got married and it became what we did full time. And we kind of pulled that out to be the center. And then the arts program still exists as Peachtree Learning Center. So I just love to see that both of those programs are still going.
Yeah. And that was neat. This past summer, you guys did a collaborative performance in the park and everything. That was fun. Bringing it all together.
Yeah, we did.
So the center, I guess we've been there, my family, for 10 years. It will be my oldest, her 10 year. So it has changed some over the years, everything. How would you say that you've seen it evolve and change?
Yeah. And I think growth requires change. So it definitely has changed. And that's one of the things you just know when something is growing, you're going to see that it changes. And that's hard sometimes when we really love the way that it was. But I always like to look at like a baby. You wouldn't want them to stay a baby forever. They're going to grow and change. So it has evolved for sure. When I was a dancer, it was ballet only, 4 days a week, all homeschool. And then as I started teaching and took over more of the leadership, of course, I met Mr. Caleb. Mm-hmm. And I decided I wanted tap and hip hop. And he really was able to bring all of these other styles, musical theater, jazz, tap, hip hop. And so we started offering a lot more styles. When we moved out from being under the nonprofit, we were not just homeschool anymore. So we started operating in the afternoons and evenings, which really helped the program grow. Mm-hmm. So we've grown. We've expanded across to different locations and different studios over time. Brought on a lot of other teachers, but still kept at that heart, you know, what we're really about, which is faith and friendship and that connection and community.
And I'm sure that it's had some challenges along the way. So what would you say has helped you just to kind of go through those challenges and overcome them?
Yes, we have had quite a few challenges. I think every studio owner will talk about COVID.
COVID
is like, a dance studio is the worst business to have at a time like COVID. Because
we did,
you have
Zoom
to
dance with you all.
We all tried to save our studios by dancing on Zoom. You couldn't have performances. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge challenge that, again, brings you down to your why.
Yeah.
And for me, it's always those faces of the kids. That's why I started the studio and wanting them to have that safe space to continue to dance. And then right around that time, my husband got sick. So Mr. Caleb was very involved at the studio. So really connection and community of him being able to transfer his gifts, his skills onto other people was really important during that time. And then, of course, really paid off when he passed away. And I would say for our studio, that's been the most challenging thing is to have that leader, the main teacher, the one that so many people love, pass away and just not be there. So that, of course, has brought with it its own evolution of how the studio has evolved without him, how we continue to honor him and what we do, and then know that growth requires change. And so my faith has been a huge part of that, the connection to the community, and just knowing this is what's right for the children that are in front of me right now with the resources that I have.
That's really, that's lovely. Okay, so how about something like a memorable success story, maybe, or a moment from your journey with the dance studio that stands out as a real high note for you?
So one of my most memorable moments is not really even a success. I think that's probably my personality. I don't tend to notice successes so much. But one of the most memorable moments was before we even opened. So here I was, this little 24-year-old. I have that space on the square that we have with the, you know, the windows. It's iconic now. And we were in there painting. So Caleb and I were not married at this time. So when I started the school, it really was just me and my mom doing everything.
Oh, wow.
And we were in there painting up, and it has the old original wallpaper. That was like velvet wallpaper back in the day when it was a restaurant. There's like, I just love the history of that building. It was a restaurant. And so we're painting over this wallpaper and alone at night in there. I think Caleb was over painting somewhere else. My best friend at the time, I roped her into it. She spent hours with me painting. And I just looked down over that empty room that was going to be the studio. Didn't have a whole lot of students enrolled. Didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And just really was in this prayerful moment of like, are they going to come? Mm-hmm. You know, is this going to actually work? What are we doing? And just felt like the Lord spoke so clearly to me. It's not really about them. This is about you and me. And if you can keep that relationship of you and me at the forefront, like, this is going to happen and it's going to be okay. And so I've returned to that moment so many times after Caleb passed, being alone in there, locking up. Such a sweet memory because it's in the same space, you know, and just remembering that, okay, not to say that what Caleb and I had wasn't amazing and that he wasn't a huge part of the school. That's not what this story is about. But to come back to that moment of like, okay, if I can keep what's important, like it's going to be okay. And they're going to come. And of course they've come. I mean, hundreds of them have come.
Yeah.
And the community that the Lord has built there has really been an amazing thing.
That's awesome. Okay, so we have a couple of other dance studios. We're very lucky in Cookeville, I think, to have such a thriving, like, performing arts area. So what would you say is something that is sort of unique about the center?
Yes, I love this community for all of the performing arts. The quality of the performing arts here is amazing, and there's such a love of dance. I would say what's unique about the center is, one, that it wasn't my baby. I think we're one of the few that it's a legacy that I'm stewarding. And the way that you lead when you're stewarding something that's not your own is just totally different.
Yeah.
And my goal is to see that continue. And, you know, I've said, I hope there's concerts where I'm not there, but also my name is never mentioned. Like, it's like a torch being passed. It's an Olympic year. So I always think of it as that Olympic torch, that this is really not about me or my baby. It's about seeing a legacy.
Yeah.
And one of the hearts of Cathedral Oaks was that whole mission behind that name was that we plant seeds that be turned into oak trees and generations later build cathedrals. So we plant seeds that we don't ever really get to see. So that's the heart behind it. But also we're a faith-based school, and that's kind of the school I grew up in. So not everybody that comes to the school is a believer or shares the same faith. I wouldn't say even all of our staff, like, they know what we're about. If you work with kids there, you know that you're going to be praying or using Christian music, or we're going to really look at your costuming to make sure it's appropriate.
Right.
So we are a faith-based school that really leaves faith and community at the heart of it. And then we're also super passionate about not over-sexualizing or really sexualizing at all young girls in dance. I just think it's so important that they know that their bodies can be used for so much more than being sexualized. And that's what is huge in the dance world. And it's amazing how countercultural that is, and how when we bring on staff, even if they grew up in Christian homes, their understanding of dance still is that there needs to be a sexual element. And so there's a lot of re-education we're constantly doing with our staff and with our dancers and our parents, just to protect the innocence of the young girls.
Okay, so back to this podcast. So you have the center, you're running the dance studio, now you're also doing this podcast. What is your hope that people will gain from tuning in and listening to the podcast?
My real hope for this podcast is that people are encouraged. You know, that word inspire means like to breathe life into, a breath of fresh air. So that's really my hope, is that the local parents, families in our community can take a breather, can feel a little bit of hope and encouragement along the way, and can connect with stories that resonate of people that are like them. And then, of course, in the end, we're all parents that are trying to support our kids in very intentional ways. And so I do hope that we can leave some tidbits that help parents support their dancer, their athlete, in whatever it is that they feel passionate about.
Yeah. That's so funny. With the bookshop, that was our big hope in opening it, is that it could be like a breather and like a, it's funny how we just feel the need to create all this space to breathe because it's just crazy.
I mean, culture needs it and parents need it too. We're so busy and trying to do so many things.
Yeah. So the title of the podcast, how did you come up with it?
Yes. So Centered is the name of our outreach group, which of course is a spinoff of our studio name, The Center. It's actually the term of a ballet class, and it's spelled with an E at the end because it's French and ballet is French and everyone wants to know why it's spelled funny.
I like that.
But the center part of a ballet class is the part where they leave the bar. And so the bar is this, like, no one sees you perform bar. You work really hard and you're building in a lot of intrinsic muscle. But when you get to the center is where you start feeling like you're dancing, and it's that testing place of, did everything I work for at the bar, will it stand up in the center? It's also something we talk about, is that's where we really start dancing. And then the dance we have is the gift we give away when we perform. And so tying that into the spiritual, emotional aspects of dancers for Centered, our outreach groups, and of course my goal with this podcast, is in a world where performing arts are so self-centered, and we can be so focused on the self, there is a difference. I heard a video, a podcast, something that I can't remember, but has really become a foundation for that name, is that we can either be self-centered or we can be a centered self.
Oh,
and so with our goal there, having dancers know, okay, we're going to test, we're going to work through a lot of things in our young years, but how can we build the faith and the endurance to be a centered self? Because once we're a centered self, we then can reach out and we can use our gifts to bless others and bless the community. And so that's the meaning behind Centered, is to kind of draw in, draw deep, get ourselves centered on what's important so that we can be a gift and a blessing to the community around us.
That's really cool. Could you give us a preview maybe of some of the topics or guests that we can expect to hear in future episodes? A little sneak peek.
So we have kind of a rotation of things that will happen. So I will have our staff, we have some amazing teachers, come on and tell their stories of when they were young and dancing, but how their parents supported them. I think as parents, it's just good to know, like, how did your parents support you? And every time I see an amazing young adult, as a parent myself, I'm like, wait, what did your parents do? Did they have tidbits for me? So our staff will come on, and that will also be some dance focus, like some tips for parents, some tips for dancers Then we'll have a faith-based episode that will be more me talking about whatever devotion theme we're leaning on in the school. But again, that breather, that little bit of like, let's do a little restoration for the parent's soul. And then we'll have some community, either community or alumni, or even students. I'm kind of excited about maybe seeing if I can get some students on here. And then we'll also have a connection with people like you. So people that are in our center families that are just doing an awesome job or are doing amazing things in the community that we want to shout out so that we can build those connections and dive into some deeper relationships with.
That's cool. There's a lot. I'm excited. I'm really excited to hear from some of the teachers. That's neat because we're always so quickly passing by, you know, everyone. And
yeah. And you say hello in the hallway, but you don't really get to know them or why they did it or how they got here.
This seems like a really great person. I would probably never know because we're always going in and out and wrangling kids. So that's really neat. Do you think there's going to be some challenges doing this podcast?
For sure. I think one is, which I know about anything you start, like you never, it's hard to start well. No one ever starts something brand new and is great at it. And so, but you have to start.
Yeah.
If you're waiting to be perfect, you're never going to start.
Yes. And so, I feel like I could tattoo that on myself.
Yes.
That has been so hard for me.
So for me, of course, that's hard because you're putting yourself out there and you know you're going to learn and get better. But again, you know, time doesn't stop. So I'm excited to be starting. I think also I'm a solo mom and not really a solopreneur, but I have a lot of great team members, but they're all part-time. Mm-hmm. So I just think the homeschool mom, the solo parenting, all of that's going to be time, which means if I've decided to do this, I know it's important and I'm committed to it at a heart level. But of course, that's going to be a challenge like all of us moms that are running around trying to fit everything in.
Yeah. But maybe we'll get to hear from your little guy every now and then on the podcast. That would be fun.
Yes. We're hoping to have a kids connection. So he'll be here and I'm sure you guys will hear as well. So make sure your kids stick around and I'm sure they'll be excited to hear from Aaron.
So your vision for the future of the podcast, what's the big dreams of if this all goes so well, what are you hoping that it can turn into?
Yeah, I think the biggest dream I have for the podcast would just be to see this community of local parents grow that are like-minded, that are supporting one another. I would love to see the podcast supported by a lot of like-minded local businesses and build a community of connection that goes a little bit deeper than just passing in the hallways.
I wonder too if it could, I mean, I think it could be really inspiring for other dance studios. I mean, I know now from going to dance camps, you know, with the center that there are others out there, you know, and I'm not sure that there are a lot of podcasts like this.
Right. So yeah. And there's definitely really a whole connection of studios out there too. And some that are like-minded that are similar to us. Yeah. So
that's really exciting. Okay. And finally, and this is important, how can we as listeners engage with you and support the podcast as it grows?
Yeah. So anywhere you would listen to a podcast, that could be on Apple, Spotify, and then of course our social media channel. So Instagram at the Center Dance. We also have a Facebook page. You can connect with us there.
Awesome. And it's Center with an E.
Yeah. Yes. The Center Dance with an E at the end.
Yay. Well, awesome. Well, this has been so fun. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you
so much. I'm excited.
Yes.
Really excited to see this grow.
Okay. We have a dance parent tip for the week, short and sweet. And that is to create a folder in your email for dance or whatever activity your child is in so you can start saving all of the communication there. Because if you're a busy parent like me, you're probably not going to read every email when they come through. But I like to know where to find the information when I do need it. So create that folder, move all of your dance-related emails there. We know it's coming up on concert time. You'll want to be able to access that information. We also have a dance fact. So if you're a dancer, we have one little tip for you in education every episode. And because we're heading into concert season, and whether you dance at the center or anywhere else, you're about to head onto stage. So we're going to talk about stage directions and upstage and downstage. Did you know that a long, long time ago, they didn't tilt the seats like seats are tilted in auditoriums today? So in order for everyone to see everything on stage, they would tilt the stage. Isn't that silly? They would tilt the stage so you would kind of probably feel like you were falling over when you were dancing. But anyway, that's where our stage directions come from. Upstage is towards the back of the stage because it would literally be higher than the front, which is called downstage. So when you're taking the stage and you hear people say move upstage, that means move to the back of the stage. move downstage means to move towards the front and to the audience. Now we're going to have my son, Aaron, come on in. We have a special kids connection every episode. So if you got a kid around, pause, get them ready to listen because you're not going to want to miss this.
Hi guys, I'm Aaron.
And you have a joke for us today?
I do. How do you make a tissue dance?
I don't know. How do you make a tissue dance?
You put a little boogie into it.
Oh my goodness. I have an issue with boogies. I actually really do hate boogers because when he was little, like most little boys, he would try to wipe them all over me. So I am not a fan, but I knew he would love that joke. And now we do have our riddle. So try to figure out this riddle. We're not going to give you the answer now. You'll have to come back and listen to the next episode. But go ahead. What's our riddle for this week, Mr. Warren?
What has hands, a face, but can't hold anything or smile?
Awesome. So what has hands, a face, can't hold anything or smile? Think about it. Tune into the next episode where we'll give you that answer. And finally, we're going to end every episode with a family challenge. So pull all the family together. This week's challenge is a dance party. I like to have dance parties in the kitchen. I don't know about you. So get mom, dad, all the brothers and sisters. Our song recommendation from the elementary school kids at the studio right now is Church Clap. If you don't know, there's a whole dance to that that the kids are loving. And if you've tried that as a parent, it is a cardio workout. So put the song on, have fun with your kids, get your cardio in for the day, and tag us on Instagram at The Center Dance to let us know how it goes.
Just do it.
If you're interested in getting your child in a dance class, we are currently enrolling for our summer camps and intensives, as well as the school year classes. Our school year classes begin in August and run through May with a big performance on stage at CPAC at the end of the school year. So if you'd like to enroll in classes, head to thecenterdance.com where you can see all of our offerings for ages 2 and up.